Okay. Thank you very much, honorable members, and good afternoon to members, as well as the department, as led by the acting director general and all members. You are all welcomed to this session of the select committee. We are not going to waste a lot of time. We're just going to deal with apologies first, and then go straight to the presentation by the department, as well as the engagement by members in terms of the presentation. Lolly, can we get apologies from members?
Good afternoon to all members and the visitors. The apologies we received are from Honorable Abus Kahne, Honorable Arnold, and Honorable Makause. I understand Chairman is going to deal with the minutes and the DM.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. We also received the apologies from the minister and the deputy minister. Like we've always said, Wednesdays are not a very good day for us, more especially in the afternoon. We can only access them if meetings are to be held late in the afternoon, after the cabinet meetings. But I'll allow Ms. Baji to deal with any other apology from her side, and then introduce the delegation.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson and Honorable Members. Chairperson, we do not have any apologies from our side. I am fortunately joined in this, on this call by the team that is leading the broadcast of digital migration from the department. Also, the entities that are tasked with implementing and coordinating the broadcast of digital migration, Chairperson. So at this point, no one, as the norm chair, if there was going to be any apology that was supposed to be submitted formally, I have not received any formal apology, Chair. I do not want to disturb your meeting. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think we can hand over to you and your team to then deal with the presentations. I'm handing over to you. You'll see how to deal with the presentation in terms of the entities that you are having. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, just to remind, I see you couldn't get much of the trouble. The question about that.
Sorry, Chair.
Honorable Nana.
Chair, I do understand, man, that Wednesdays are a bit awkward, particularly during daytime, for cabinet ministers to attend some of our committees. But as you know, that the select committee only sits on Wednesdays, or rather, normally sits on Wednesdays in the majority of times. And it therefore suggests that we will always have difficulties in getting the minister or the deputy to attend. I would want to advise, Chair, if it comes to a push, we will have to look at changing our meeting times. I'm sure members wouldn't mind meeting in the evenings as we have been normally meeting during COVID period. Thanks, Chair.
Yeah, I think in the next quarter, we'll have to look at the time and the allocation of time. We'll discuss that with the House Chairperson. Just to allow us to move to a little bit late in the afternoon so that we can be able to accommodate our specific part of our engagement. I think it's a suggestion that we made last time. So when we do the program for the next term, we can, as always, look at that. If we don't have time allocated in that time, then we can look at it in any other way. Because meetings are virtual, we can be able to hold them late in the afternoon. Thank you very much, Honorable Nana.
Maybe I was also supposed to explain to expand on the apologies. The minister fell ill last night or today, but she's sick. And also the DM had to attend the gender-based violence, something of this sort. It's not that they're in the cabinet, but the minister fell ill. She's not well. Yes.
But it's something that we need to look forward to, because usually apologies will be that they are in cabinet meeting, so that we can get time that we always have our ministers. It's long that we have been having meetings without them. Let's look at that as proposed by Honorable Ms. Budge. Yeah.
Before Ms. Baji, Chairperson, Chair, and good afternoon. Chairperson, if I can miss into a meeting, my apology. We still have a struggling with the electricity.
Oh, okay. All right. No, thank you very much.
Thanks.
Ms. Baji.
Chairperson, we can start to change.
Yes.
Well, thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, on this call, the delegation is just going to be led by Dr. Fatuani Mutubi. He is the one that is the PMO here at this point. So, Chair, just as a background, as you would recall, that this program has been made since 2008. We have not met the target that has been set by the ITU. And to this end, we have, in recent years, also been fraught with challenges in terms of budget cuts. However, we are continuing in terms of ensuring that we meet the deliverables as they have been delayed. I'm going to hand over to Dr. Mutubi to just go through the presentation. Quickly, Dr. Mutubi, over to you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, colleagues from entities and the department led by our acting Director General. For opportunity to take you through the status of the broadcasting digital migration in light of the annual performance targets as well as the target towards successful migration in the country. I don't know who is assisting with the slide. We can move to slide one, which reflects a map, shows the readiness of the country with respect to the network coverage. All the green areas indicate the available network connectivity across the country, where there are white spots indicating areas where there is no terrestrial network which is covered by the satellite. And the area in purple is the area where Centec is finalizing the new sites, or where they've been finalized in addition to the sites that were available for the digital terrestrial television network, which was done way back in 2008 and 2012. Next slide. The slide indicates a very change of the program from the policy to the network deployment, the awareness campaign and registration process that was started in 2016. But the two areas in circle, as critical success factors focus, this is where we I should indicate, Chairperson, that where we are now, particularly on the areas where we have started with the decoder rollout, is the device distribution and installation. In this regard, phase that I will talk to relates to the rollout of the devices in four provinces relating to the depletion of stock in the Free State, Northern Cape, Northwest, and Limpopo. And we aim to finalize the, in line with the cabinet approval of December 2019 by 2021 to finalize the migration process and switch off all analog transmitters. The next slide. This slide reflects the households migrated across the country. We have a total of about 13.1 million households, rounded to 13 million television households, 7 million of which have collectively migrated through pay platforms and other digital platforms. 4.7 million households are the ones that the government has committed to assist in order to facilitate the migration process. And there is a number of approximately 1.5 million unsubsidized market that require migrating through procuring and purchasing devices in the retail market. In this regard, 2%, the Universal Service Access Agency has procured approximately 1.5 million decoders to provide to the 1.5 million households. And because of the numbers that we have as the government to support, there is an additional 3.2 million households that still need to be migrated. These numbers do not have not a procurement in this regard has not commenced, and this is the area that I will talk to regarding the funding that is required to successfully realize the migration process. I should indicate to them that up to so far, at least 511,368 households have been supported or assisted by government to migrate. And those who rely on retail market, although they are migrating, but we still have a challenge that in some areas from decoders where the prices of decoders were a bit higher, they could not afford. And as government, we have embarked on engagement with relevant entities, and we have revised the standards that will enable those who rely on the tech market to get cheaper devices. The next slide. This slide talks to interventions that are required for the government to successfully migrate the television households. This is including but not limited to the acceleration of installation of subsidized decoders for those who rely on the retail market. And this is an activity that is currently handled by Central. You will note, Chairperson, in the previous meeting, we reported that Centec has been appointed to manage the installation process in order to ensure quality of the processes, and in that regard, SACO continues to provide services of distributing those decoders. We have to ensure that there are available decoders, as I indicated earlier. We have, in line with, in consultation with the industry, led by ICASA, managed to ensure the development of the generic standard that will enable cheaper manufacturing of cheaper decoders. We are expected, when that we have done at a small scale, to drive the mass communication and national awareness program. This is led by the department to sensitize the community about the program and the is expected of them. We also need to ensure to track the messaging of available devices such as integrated television, the IDTV, so that our suppliers and those manufacturers can be able to market them. If you go to some other shops and retailers, you will see these devices branded with a GoDigital logo. We have established a dedicated communication team led by the department and the SABC to ensure that we develop focused messaging and flag them in public platforms such as TV and radio. And also to align this process of communication with the program. The other area, the chairperson, relates to the funding for the decoders. We are, as I indicated earlier, chairperson, we have funding, and the government has already asked for the 1.5 million households. But in line with the new or revised delivery model, we have a shortage of funding for about 4.1 billion, so that the 3.2 million households can be successfully assisted, those who rely on government subsidy. In terms of the VUA support, we currently have all SABC radio stations in the digital platform. We will also have about 7 SABC channels and 6 CTV channels. But due to the nature of the rollout of the program, there is a need to assist those who experience challenges. For example, if a decoder is faulty and so forth, they need to be able to have access to the call center. In that regard, sometimes they're currently running a call center that is assisting households. And in terms of the those communities who doesn't have resources, we have started establishing the so-called working centers in the Free State, 6 of them, so that when decoder is faulty, instead of getting frustrated and say that the decoder is not working, there is a place within a post office where they can go and check if the decoder is faulty or is perhaps through experiences that when some people cleaning their houses, they end up pulling some cables away and affect the functionality of the decoder. Next slide. It's important for us to reflect on the historic challenges and the interventions that we have done, just to give you confidence that there is positive progress on the work that we are doing, although we might have dealing with those challenges, but there is progress. In terms of the program management, there has been a lack of accountability to the department on the implementation of the program by entities. And in this regard, in some areas, we experience some delay in the planning of the program. We also, at some point, unable to effectively account to yourself and other committees and the public at large. But we have, in this regard, initiated a process of the development of governance instruments aimed at ensuring accountability of these entities on the delivery of the program. And in this regard, there is a draft service level agreement that we are socializing with the assistance of LIGA. And we also carry out the regular monitoring of the program through the leadership of the Director General and the Acting Director General. We are also, for the purpose of effective monitoring, we are working very closely with the district and local municipalities to establish steering committees that are assisting us in identifying challenges as and when the decoder rollout is happening, particularly where we have started in the Free State. And we will continue this establishment in other provinces where decoder rollout will be happening. The procurement process has experienced some delays due to the capacity of the Amen. Thank you. And in that regard, Chairperson, we have as I reported earlier, we have made recommendations as the department and minister has engaged cabinet to approve a process, a new process of migrating or assisting indigent households through the voucher system, wherein instead of government getting moving around with decoders, then also affected or qualifying households will produce a coupon and produce and get connected, which we believe it will be quicker to do. Also, for the purpose of the effectiveness, we have localized the services so that during the implementation of the program, beneficiaries will have access to those who are assisting them in the process. Chairperson, in this regard, we have a voucher system framework in place which SAPO has. To also mitigate some challenges, we appointed, Centec was appointed by SASA to manage the installation process. And we have commenced with the decoder rollout on the 27th of October 2020. I should also indicate on number 3, Chairperson, the installation management. USASA at the time did not have technical capacity, and as a result, they were poor installation challenges. They were delaying the distribution because of the absence of that skill and capacity. And the areas of post-installation support that I've spoken about earlier. The department has intervened and ensured that the localization of installation management happens. In this regard, Chairperson, if you go to Lady Brand today, you will find the people of Lady Brand doing installation. So that this is part of a mitigation, because when we installation is done, the very same people of local installers are able to service those beneficiaries in case there is a faulty decoder or some misunderstandings with respect to that. So in that regard, Centec has already commenced on the 27th of October. They are appointing local installers at provincial and local district and local municipality level. And that is also meant to ensure improved quality of the installation. But I should indicate, Chairperson, that there is a shortfall, as I've indicated earlier, funding shortfall for subsidizing 3.2 million households. And this shortfall has potential to delay the effective planning. It is easy to plan a program when you are certain that you have this money and you are able to communicate, because you are certain you will have those resources to reach those particular areas. And in this regard, we are continuing with the leadership of the acting director general to further engage with national treasurer so that they can assist in this regard. We also at times solicit other sources of funding for the program from the industry, which is an effort we are trying to do from our side. The lack of digital decoders, which I have spoken to earlier, and those who rely on the retail market, when they ask question about where are these digital terrestrial decoders, we were unable to do so, but as indicated, we have finalized and developed a generic standard in consultation with the industry for manufacturers to produce affordable decoders to the public, so that these households can migrate with us. Next slide. Chairperson, this is a plan. There is an estimate challenges regarding those in the next slide. Next slide, please. This shows as a it was important for us to indicate the procurement that has been done by USASA and the deliveries and the installation that has already happened. So this is in at a high level. Procurement has happened and we are in the process of now taking the stock. This slide just reflects the decoders that have been issued, the decoders that have been installed, and some are in the process of being installed. Next slide. So this is a reflection of the work that we still need to do in the Free State, in the Northern Cape, Northwest, and Limpopo. I should indicate 10% from experience that if you see the number there are people who have moved from one province to the other, from one region to the other, and so forth. So it might have been these numbers are estimated. So in terms of the numbers, what we have so far realized, we registered at least in those four provinces where we have the stock, 580,000 registrations with 807,000 people. And the process of registration campaigns is underway. We have installed 153,000 and inclusive of the outstanding registrations, we still have 1.036 million to go. But these numbers are estimates. The experience that we have had on the ground is that these are areas in fact that the estimate becomes higher and the other areas become lower, based on the migration of people from one province, one region to the other. So we have the statistics as well as per the region, district, and local municipality. Next slide. Chairperson, in terms of the implementation of the first phase, we are currently running awareness campaign at local level in partnership with the municipalities. And this happens to assist two strategic issues. The first one is that we sensitize the public about the work that CENTEC is doing to appoint local installers. The second one is to sensitize the community about the work that is on the ground and underway, the building of stock, the distribution and installation, so that those who are not registered can go and register. Obviously, like any other programs, COVID-19 has also impacted on us, so we cannot currently engage another group at a time. Some challenges relate to areas where there are farming communities, but we due to farm laborers and also the access, because farm workers have particular time. But we are working very closely with the municipalities who also have access to those respective areas. We have a challenge of resources in terms of human resources, which we are trying to address with the municipalities, but I should indicate that municipalities as well as their own programs that they are running, that create the challenge of them supporting us as effective as we would like to achieve the progress. So the intervention that we have done so far is the partnership with the municipalities, as I've indicated. Last year, Acting Director General assisted us to sign a memorandum of understanding. I think it was reported in this forum. That memorandum of understanding is indeed working for us because it is easy to access municipalities as well. Acting Director General also said that when we resumed with the decoder rollout, having engaged with the provincial government of Free State, and she continues to assist us in engaging the other provincial government. It makes life easy for us to reach the district and local municipalities. And I should indicate that we have been, because of this consultation, a very strong relationship with municipalities to support the program. Next slide. So that is the current implementation of the program, depletion of 860,000 decoder stock. National Treasury has granted the permission, so we are comfortable with the work that Centec is currently doing, because subsequent to the National Treasury granting the approval, Centec was approved in October by USASA to manage installation services. There was a service level agreement entered into between the two organizations, and Centec has commenced to appoint local installers at local level, and the commencement of the decoder rollout has also started. At the time of the provision of this presentation, we had approximately 1,800 installations that were done. I should indicate that when you started as a small scale, and when the installers gained momentum, they increased their teams and do more work. And I should indicate as well that due to the past experience, Centec is also closely monitoring the installation process so that we do not experience the back and forth regarding these challenges. The challenge that we have is that in the previous rollout process, USASA appointed the installer at the amount of 600 rand per installation. What the National Treasury has granted is 250 and 350 respectively. So that created a challenge where the local installer says we are at this point on the previous process we used to be getting 200 rand as a subcontracting amount, but now we are getting 50 rand. So some are reluctant to participate in the program, and some are rejecting any intervention that is on the ground. So that also impacts on the delays on the installation process. But as far as we have escalated this matter through stakeholder engagement, the center, there is engagement between Centec and this the appointed provincial installers to resolve those matters. But given the number of installers on the ground, one can indicate that there might be challenges, or we have observed the challenges that these installers are raising according to their statistical analysis, that the current arrangement does not make them generate any revenue on the program, and they might threaten to also withdraw. So some interventions are underway. As I've indicated earlier, our PGA has engaged the provincial government, and she's doing this assisting going forward with other provincial government. We also have monthly progress updates with this. We have planned, although we have not done one, not planned. But we plan to have the monthly meetings with provincial government, which will be assisted by the feedback and progress reported from the district and local municipalities steering committees. The progress so far is that all municipalities, I think, have been consulted. I should report that, except for my own metro, but we still need to consult. And we have established those steering committees in those respects. Next slide. Yeah, perhaps then I should also indicate one of the mitigating factors that we are doing, which we have agreed with the municipalities, is that municipalities will, through the local economic development structures within the municipality, they are engaging with local business people so that they can generate database of these local installers to make it easy for them when they is raised and send out and respond by the state. They're able to participate in those. in terms of technical monitoring, we have identified historic challenges and we have them to Centrex as and when they arrive. In areas where we have technical team on the ground, they resolve them immediately. Some still take time because of the areas like when you go to France, you need to make some arrangements. COVID-19 has also impacted us. Issues of farming communities, which we do not, also do not have installed in those areas. Issue of resources is an issue for us. We need more people on the ground to monitor and evaluate the work so that we can quickly address issues, identify, address issues, and move forward. The interventions, the partnership with municipalities is also helping. We municipalities are assisting as well to enter into farming communities through the farming structures that are in those respective districts and local municipalities as well as provincial government. We have also established the working centers in the Free State to provide support to the beneficiaries, so that when decoders are faulty and so forth, we are able to be dealt with as and when the issues arise. Next slide. So, Chairperson, this is what we are doing. I have indicated the number of those who still have to register. We are collecting a database through all entities that are now assisting. SAFA, SAPO, Centrex, they are assisting in ensuring that those who have not registered also try to find ways in which online education can happen to deal with those who have access to resources. And we run door-to-door campaigns, we target SAFA grant payments. Although we have those challenges of COVID-19 as that I've been indicated, we register, we try by all the means as and when we are on the ground together with the entities to establish the registration centers so that those who need to register can register. Next slide. Chairperson, I spoke about the implication of the funding. The 2.45 billion that was appropriated way back in 2012 has managed to secure approximately 1.5 million households to be supported by government, leaving at least 3.2 million indigenous households to be assisted. So in line with the cabinet approved delivery model, to finalize this program, at least 5.7 billion funding is required. And National Treasury so far has only made available 1.6 billion, leaving a shortfall of 4.1 billion rand. With respect to the COVID-19 challenge, there was an appropriated amount of 538 million rand for 2020-2021. I think there is an error. I should apologize for that. However, due to this, the 78 million was then returned to assist the COVID-19 intervention. So that is what, if you look on the subsidy phase two impact of the funding, is that National Treasury taking 78 million rand has led to the reduction of subsidy vouchers from 351,000 to 278 for this current year. So, but I should indicate on this regard that funding is required urgently for us to meet the 2021 deadline. Without such funding, we can also be able to plan backwards and say this is what we can achieve at the particular time. Next slide. So, I think this is the last slide that talks to the governance structure of this organization. One element that we have identified as a critical success factor is the leadership support. obviously the minister, the acting director general, and the deputy director general responsible for the program, assisting us to get things going on the ground. And those are the entities that are playing a role in their responsibilities in terms of the network and the subsidy, the registrations process. The broadcasters are providing content. We are, as the department, playing a coordination role in providing technical and monitoring support, and also in this regard, financial management at high level, because these funds are appropriated and channeled to respective entities like SASA. Next slide. That was the last slide, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. I don't know, Ms. Baji, if there is something you want to add before I allow members to engage.
No, Chair, I'm fine. Over to you. Thank you.
No, thank you very much. Honorable members, will engage the report as follows. We'll start with Honorable Bibi, Honorable Lute, Honorable Nana, Honorable Ngwenya, Honorable Mukause. I saw she has blocked in. And Honorable
Mukause. I'm here, Chairperson. I'm here.
All right, in that order. Honorable Bibi.
She only logged in to my brother, Chair. She's not here, Mukause.
You are not going to give
Thank you very much, Honorable BBA. I like this committee, you know. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings, Long B. That is my chief Chairperson. I ain't gonna name the Chairperson. It's a pretty good genocide guy. Greetings also to the team. Gamma Mubaji and also our colleague Chairperson. I just have got two questions here. My first question will be, it seems to me that up to so far, the only people who had or have access to decoders are the indigent households. My question will be, what about non-indigent households, people who can pay out of their pockets? And where can they go to get decoders if they are to pay for them? That's my first question, Chairperson. And the second question, Chairperson, will be, the last time the committee engaged the department, we were told that a campaign to train local across provinces for the installation of the DTT to households is underway. Now, Chairperson, how far is this campaign and how many installers have been trained to date? I thank you, Chairperson. Those are my two questions.
Honorable Kruger, thank you, Chairperson. I'm happy that Honorable Bibi is asking the question about being able to pay your TV license. I just want to make sure, maybe in this round and how in case afterwards, when we speak about subsidized indigent TV households, is that such subsidized with the decoder devices? And then adding to that, with these decoders being installed, how do we know that those people also pay their TV license if possible? So that's just one question. Then the other concern I have is that we are spending a lot of money, millions, on technology that
is changing and changing rapidly. One saying this is, I don't know, the United States are different from us, but you know when our trends, countries tend to follow the trends. Let me give an example on the election nights in America. Team rankings of the big television stations went down. That was a strange phenomenon, but what actually happened is people tended to move away from TV that night and they sat on their phones and watched on YouTube or Facebook or whatever they wanted, information they needed. So there's another migration following now from away from TV towards cell phones. My question is, are we not spending a lot of money on satellite installations while the rest of the world is moving away from television to let's say, cell phones or whatever device you use to get the information these days? So that's just a question. It's actually sad that the minister couldn't be here because it's a policy question. But maybe the acting DG can engage in this discussion. Thank you.
Honorable Nana. Thanks, Chair. Chair, I'm afraid the department is not painting an encouraging picture. They say they have a shortfall of 4.1 billion rand. International Treasury gave them 1.6 billion, if my memory serves me correct. And I did hear the doctor mentioning something to an effect that they are looking at other possible funding streams. And again, if I heard him correct, he mentioned some other players in the digital space. What you see, that the truth, as we all know it, honorable members, our government doesn't have sufficient money. These kind of projects are not necessarily a priority as things stand, because the Minister of Finance has now was going to operate on a shoestring budget. And unfortunately, these are some of the after effects of state capture. It's fine that we don't talk about it anymore, but these are the after effects of the 9 wasted years, and unfortunately, they will be with us for a very long time. Now, I wanted to pick the department's brain on other funding models, because as things stand, they probably could only master 30% of the finances they require to complete the project. Where are they hoping to get the 4.1 billion? In an event, Minister Mwinyi says, I don't have the money. Have they thought of engaging private role players? And of course, private capital has got to make profit out of anything that they put their money in. have they thought of engaging people with money, because our government doesn't have money? Then, Chair, I would like to come back at a later stage. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngwenya.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair of our committee, for recognizing me to make a contribution to this meeting. Let me take this opportunity to greet everyone present in the meeting and say all protocol affairs. Honorable Chairperson, having listening to the presentation, I would like to ask the following clarity-seeking questions. One, whether the department needs an alternative funding model to raise the money required to prevent qualified households from analogy to dignitary television, as per the broadcasting dignitary migration policy. I want to combine this question with the shortfall check of funding that the department has said to have received from National Treasury to assist with the migration process. Now, has the department received any alternative funding model to raise funding to complete the dignitary migration process? If yes, can we get an updated report on the alternative funding that the department has explored, and if no, why not? The second question, Chair, is on campaign on public education and awareness on dignitary migration in provinces. The question is, does the department have a timetable and schedule in terms of rolling out this campaign in provinces? If yes, when will the campaign come to Gauteng province so that we can prepare ourselves as public representatives by informing members of the public to be aware about this public awareness campaign on dignitary migration? Chairperson, the last question is on STDs, which are stored at the post office warehouse. I want to know that when will these set-top boxes be moved to provinces? I thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngozi.
Chairperson, thank you very much. We are present in this meeting and would like to send a clear message to Honorable Nana that their Brackenfell is our Brackenfell. Not their Brackenfell. Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. Chairperson, I would like to draw the department's attention to the slide that speaks to the delay. The province, as a region and per municipality. Yes, they gave us the numbers, but can they get into details as to this region in this particular province? Here are the numbers and here are the delays. Here are the challenges that we are facing in this particular province. You have spoken about the different guarantees of payments of subcontractors, who some were paid 250 and some were paid, obviously, a lesser amount. And Chairperson, obviously these are black contractors that the department is speaking about. Have you done your research in this regard and actually come up with a clear finding as to why were the others paid so much and why are these other ones paid less? I would like to pause here for now, Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Ngauze. Honorable Mudise. She said she was struggling with network. I just wanted to check whether she's still inside the meeting. We'll get her in the second round if she's not around for now. Acting DG and your team, you can respond for on this question as the members.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. I appreciate those questions. And maybe I'll just respond to the question that Edward faced with more related to funding. Yes, we do agree that there is no funding from National Treasury, and we are engaging with various institutions to look at alternative funding. However, that is not a smoking gun that has just happened. We have to also show, when you are asking for funding, you have to show that you are moving with haste. There is going to be a return on what the person is giving you. So we have engaged with a number of development companies in this regard, and we're still at very sensitive stages in terms of our discussions with them. So I just wanted to bring that to the fore as an alternative. And then the second part that I wanted to talk to is insofar as the questions are around STBs that are in post offices. So I want to be mentioned that the center has contracted CENTEC to actually move those set of boxes, and we are starting, the CENTEC is starting at a free state. Then there's a slide, I think the slide that is being spoken to is the slide 9, the one that talks to the way how far we are in terms of the migration. That being said, Chair, we are focusing in the main on Free State, Northern Cape and Northwest, but for now more in the Free State because of the capacity that we have between the entities, and secondly, from a planning point of view, we want to check how will the implementation happen in those areas. Then just the other question that was raised about the bigger provinces. We are not focusing on bigger provinces. This is the plan, that's how it's designed. The plan is to focus on those provinces that are surrounding our border posts, like your Northwest, your Free State, the Popo, those kind of provinces. Secondly, the metros are the last ones to be migrated in terms of the plan that we planned with CSIR. I heard there was a question about election night in America. So this is how we are evolving in South Africa. In South Africa, our consumption is at this point still different, especially the targeted households that we're targeting, the indigent households that we're targeting, that when you are younger and you have access to cheaper broadband, you have access to cheaper cell phones, because cell phones that you have, all this, you have alternatives, then you will be able to access, you watch your online content insofar as election night and the likes. And for us, our concern when it comes to the online is more around how do they influence our elections, which is a different topic today. But as you grow older, you have a family. These are our patterns that show us in South Africa. As you grow older, so you stay at home, you have your own cell phone, you watch your own videos, you ignore your mom and dad, you move to campus if you're lucky, you still do the same. But as you grow older, you are bound to have a shared family screen, even if you are not an indigent household. So I just wanted to clear that our consumption patterns at this stage are still very much more on television, and you would note even those that have moved to Netflix and the likes, they're still using the traditional television to access those services. Because we, in South Africa, the trend, and I'm not saying in all households, the trend is that we sit around and watch TV, a family of 3, 4, 5, or 10. That is is what we do, that the moving away from cell phones is more when you are younger and then on your upcoming years. I will ask Dr. Mutubi to actually go through the challenges, detail by detail, especially the ones that we experienced in various areas and in recent times in the provinces, that she takes us through those and then propose to what is our proposed solutions for those areas. With that, I thank you, Dr. Mutubi.
Thank you for participating in me and thank you, person and members. The question relating to the training of local installers, I should indicate that the risk commitment from giving the appointed installers, they've made commitments to at least, which is a process that they have already started. They've committed to train at least 10 young people in areas where they have been appointed to do installations. And in this regard, this is the benefit to this installation, even though they are running the process of installations now. These installers that are young people that are being trained have opportunity to service the non-subsidized market when they buy the decoders and devices, they connect them. We also view that as a positive initiative because the post-installation support would be easily realized because those young people will then be able to assist those households that experience some challenges after installation. The steps, Chairperson, and allow me to unbundle the challenge regarding the installation subcontracting that was raised. I've indicated that the initial process of installation was that installers were appointed at 600 rand per installation, and they were subcontracting local people or local installers at around 200 rand per installation. That in itself became a problem, and because of one, the installers were appointed nationally, and the recommendation that we have provided, which is under implementation now, is that installers are contracted at provincial level in Free State. So in this regard, Semtec went and appointed installers at provincial level. Those installers, a typical example is that an installer was appointed from Velcom, was assigned an area of Lady Brand to installation. So much as the installer is within the province, but he's still in a distance of over 100 kilometers. So he has to go to Lady Brand and appoint or subcontract a local installer there, which also created a problem because this local installer has to be subcontracted by the provincial installer who is based in Velco. So we have, as I've indicated earlier, in trying to mitigate this matter, which seems to be working, is that those local installers did not respond to the tender when it was advertised by Semtec, and therefore Semtec could not just go and appoint somebody who did not even apply. So in this regard, we are running a pre-tender advertising awareness so that those local installers are aware of the tender to be published, and then they also apply and participate. Second to that is that we are generating through the municipality local economic development structures. They are assisting in generating a database of local installers. And I should indicate that there are two forms of installers. You have the
installer who is qualified in terms of papers that Centec is looking for. But you also have those ones who have been working with these qualified installers within their team, and they therefore have skills in doing those installations. They therefore form part of the team to assist with the installation process. So what has happened is that those installers that have been appointed from Velcom to Lady Brand went to Lady Brand and appointed subcontracted local installers at an amount of 50 rand per installation, which did not serve the for realizing a complete local installation, and two, realizing an objective of post-installation support, which we spoke about earlier. So those are matters that municipalities and Centec and USASA we are resolving through proper engagements and awareness campaigns, so that installers are aware of the tenders to be advertised, municipalities generating database of local installers, so that the determination can be made as to what is the amount of installers in a respective area that can service this, so that capacity can be sourced from other districts to effectively and quickly service the other district in that regard. So I think I should indicate the I have clarified that challenge and the intervention at this point in time. Also, as part of the intervention, the installers, appointed installers, have engaged in the process of training at least 10 young people to those areas where they are appointed. And they have started with that process because they are giving them necessary skills to assist the process, while they will remain with that skill to economically assist themselves. DG has spoken about the funding matters and the timelines. I think I've clarified the issues relating to the figures. So what we are saying here, Chairperson is that, and members, once local installers are appointed at local level, they will then benefit the entire 250 installation, which makes life easy for the program. And those are the mitigation interventions that the department and municipalities are working together. Thank you.
Chairperson?
Thank you very much. Honorable Boss, acting DG, is there anyone who wants to contribute? Because I see like there are quite a number of persons that were not attended to. For example, delays sectorally, and what are the issues there? The issues on subsidized TV households and non-indigent households. Before I allow members to do follow-up, I'm just looking at questions that I've noted down. Acting DG.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm having latency issues on my side. For the three questions that has not been responded, one of the breakdown of the province for households, I didn't get that. Can you please repeat the first one? Except maybe Dr. Mutubi did get that.
It was an issue. I can ask Honorable Mukawasa to repeat it because it was asked by him.
I can do that, Chairperson. There's a slide which speaks about having challenges in terms of installation. Can you talk intensively on the numbers per province and let us know, in this particular province, here are the challenges, that's why we cannot complete the installation. Thank you.
that is the person acting DJ.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chair. So for the that side of the challenges, we have in the main three provinces that we have been dealing with, which is Western, Northern Cape, and Northwest. So each province has its unique challenges. So for example, and I think Dr. Mutubi tried to summarize the challenges. So for example, in the Free State, we would have what we would term as challenges insofar as not like communities moving and changing within those communities. That would be the first challenge that we say is a major challenge. Then the second challenge within that province would be our interaction, because for instance we'll go and have to come into a province and meet with the teacher of the province, we meet with the mayors, we meet with the councillors. Then when we go area, the municipal district, and we meet with councillors, then this nuanced specific intervention that we'll seek from councillors to assist us to make sure that we are supported when we are going to the various communities, so they differ. Then in the Northwest, when they're looking at the challenges, what they might be seeing as that we would think to have put set of boxes that are not working. So what we discovered that in this specific area, I just forgot what it was now, the name, maybe Dr. Mutubi will know the specific name because it was even reported in the newspaper, that your decoder is supposed to automatically update itself in the evening. So you need to release it on, but due to maybe issues around electricity, maybe there's not enough electricity, that everything gets switched off in this area before people go to sleep. So you switch off the main switch and then you go to sleep. So your decoder ended up not updating. You know, there's automatic updates that happen. So they have to go back and have to do the training in that specific province. Then in the Northern Cape, the major challenge that we had, but in smaller areas, because the main installations that we've done in the Northern Cape were direct to home installations, not DTT, because of the SKA program of standard to manage, was the quality of the installations by those people that we hired at that time. Hence, now as a government, we put the proposal to come in to say, look, we have an entity called Center must be considered to do this, especially the appointment and the quality checks, because they were disconcerned around quality checks. So when I talk about quality of the installation, I'm talking about something as simple as this vulnerable member. You know, you have the pole in your house, let's say this is your pole, that you put the cord for the set-top box. In some households, you will see that a person literally will put something that is of inferior quality, will not put a proper pole to make sure that the cord to install the set-top box is a proper quality that has been approved. So hence now I say, Center is going to ensure that to back quality control how we are moving forward. Then Dr. Mutubi will advise me if I've forgotten anything.
Dr. Patuani.
I think the question relating to the numbers, I should indicate that yes, we do keep track a status report of data as far as local municipalities. So that statistics is available per individual province, per individual district, local municipalities and metros. So we do have that statistics in place.
I think that was the last question, the question that was dealt with.
There's one. In that subsidized household, I think that question is twofold. They remember the one that gave to talk about the aerial and the IDP is the alternative to the missing middle, Dr. Mutu. The ones that, so we have Chair Soto to give it. So Chair, the non-subsidized household question then says, we are promoting two things. We are promoting a new standard that has just been approved by South African Bureau of Standards for central cheaper central boxes to be available in South Africa. That those households that can neither afford the high level decoder for those commercial operators can be able to receive a DTT signal using the cheaper decoder. That's one. Secondly, there are also other alternatives that are in the market, such as your television. But those televisions, we know they're quite expensive. But not only are they expensive, in South Africa today, there are very, very, very extremely few televisions, if there are any whatsoever, although they're not banned, that do not have embedded in them the standards that have been set by South African Bureau of Standards to ensure that we're able to migrate. But ours is to ensure that we have a drive to make people aware that this is the alternative that is available. So for instance, a colleague of ours will say, no, we need to teach people about the tuna. You know, like there's a tuna on the television that you can use and buy an aerial and then you'll be able to receive this aerial. And this messaging is the messaging that is planned to happen as to how people need to receive that the signal using other alternatives besides waiting for the subsidized set-top boxes and all voucher and all IPTVs as is the case. Thank you, Honorable Peter.
Thank you, Jay. I just want to say to the acting DG, I'm happy to hear that people are still sitting in front of TVs. According to what you told me, I was just wondering if you really, sometimes I think, especially in modern times, you know, TVs are just a new, it's a new, it's called a fireplace, it's on, but no one really looks at it. I'm wondering how much time people actually spend watching TV. Do you like it on? And added to that, how many times do you find that people might be actually on their phones watching TV? But that's a debate from the other day. My last question would go to the last slide 15, which shows the overall governance structure. There's a critical point there that we need to discuss, and that's right at the bottom we'll see Syntec, and I think it's basically your annual term, your role players. We see SABC as well. Are you confident that the SABC at this stage can actually provide, knowing that all the problems we see at the SABC in the past week, are you really confident that the SABC can provide that digital content in this whole structure and value chain?
Honorable Bibi.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, to give me this second opportunity. First of all, can the department tell us if there's a task team for the implementation of the digital migration? If yes, they do have, who is part of it and what are their roles? And again, Chairperson, what is the latest update of the suspended USASA employees who were suspended of tender irregularities in relation to the procurement of set top boxes? And the last one, Chairperson, will be
Can the department clarify on the 1.8 billion alleged to have been sourced from the National Treasury in March to finance a digital a DTT project through USASA, which has still not materialized? Thank you so much, Chairperson, for the opportunity.
Thank you very much, Honorable Nana. If you still have follow-up.
Yes, I do, Chair. Chair, firstly, I'm pleased that private capital is being considered to finance this project. But I'm hasten to say that as the committee is front, is something that we will have to look very closely as those transactions are being unfolded. So I do accept. I actually welcome the assertions by the department that they are looking into various financing streams. Chair, you will probably recall when we had Santec a while ago, a question was raised by the committee in relation to maintenance of the, in relation to after installation service, which will include maintenance, repairs, and all of that. And again, if my memory serves me correct, Centex said something to the effect that they're looking at localizing that aspect of the project, so that locals can be on hand close by to perform any after service installation. After installation service required. I hear the, and please forgive me, I can't pronounce the doctor's name. And I'm sorry for that. I hear the doctor mentioning a commitment by installers that they will train 10 young people their locality to help in the installation process. And the question is that 10 young people the same that will be performing the after installation service that I have earlier alluded to? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honorable Mkausa, do you still have any follow-up before I allow the department?
Yes, Chairperson. Chair, with regard to what the Honorable Nana just raised, in the next presentation, may we be given maybe the total number of trained young people per province, per locality? And then also, if that will actually yield better results in terms of speeding up the project itself. Chairperson, you would agree with me that our people do not have data. Our people live in rural areas where there's no network. So it can obviously not be the reason why the department is telling us that the reason why some people were taken from as far as Brandfort or somewhere else in the Free State. It's because the people did not, and the locals did not respond to the advertisement. We must take into cognizance, yes, that majority of these subcontractors are black people who are unemployed, and some do not even have communication infrastructure to access this information. That should actually not be the reasons why. Hence the question from Mangwenya relating to the community outreach. Can you be specific as to where have you been, spoken to people and explained to them about the project itself and explain to them actually the rollout of the project, what is expected from that locality? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. And just to extend this question on the training of young people, to say, are those contractors, is this part of their service level agreement that they should train those trained young people, which they have served? Thank you very much. Back to Richard.
Thanks, Chair. Oh, thank you. I got cut. I didn't see that my mother-in-law was here. So, let me declare. So, Chair, I'll start off with the questions that have been asked around the last slide on the roles and responsibilities. Just as to whether are we confident that FABC will be able to deliver as against the slide, the last second, the second last slide, as against what we have we've assigned. I must say, Chairperson, so far, especially in so far as digital content, FABC has been already has channels in terms of DTT channels, and they have changed some of their programming to be, I want to use the correct word, like escape, to be digital content. That's the one thing. So they are leading that, and they're leading it very well. On the awareness and the value proposition, I must say this is not only FABC. What FABC relies on the department and the other stakeholders, such as those that I mentioned there, in order for it to have an awareness program that is compelling for South Africans. It is what I was talking to, that is the part of the missing middle that we have to go out and say, for those that are not, those that are in the unsubsidized market, and those that can still afford to buy the alternative in order for us to migrate, this is what needs to happen. So FABC has come up with concepts, but insofar as making sure that the concepts are accurate, also we are gathering ourselves as the entire team that you see there. Yes, they are the lead. The structure, as you see there, it just talks to what each and every person's responsibility is supposed to be, and not taking away the, it's almost like it's a project management structure. There are still other entities and other people from the department that report there. So you will note that there is two sides that the department is in. It's on three. It's on program coordination and management, technology and engineering support, and financial management. It is not doing those by itself. We have other entities such as CENTEC, USASA, staff are flowing from those structures that we have there. But the lead will be just talks on the top. Who will be leading? Who will make sure that the quality of what comes out from this and from the program coordination and management will be DCPT? The same with SAPC. The lead will be the SAPC to make sure that everything happens accordingly. But we, at this point, we've been working very well. I cannot fault the SAPC since I've worked with them. Here, it's just given us to be aligned. Then the questions that have been raised by Honorable Nana, Honorable Nana's daughter, Mutubi. So that's how we must take office selling, although it's first that we sort of took.
So
that was my confusion. It tricked differently and you pronounce it differently. And I apologize for it, honestly, I apologize.
Yes, I understand. That's why I want to tell you so that you know the context from the rural area where we come from. Then the other questions that came from Honorable people is the one on the update of the Usata employees that have been suspended. I must say, Honorable Chair, at this point, we cannot diverge much on those suspended employees because they're just suspended recently and Usata is still engaging in its own internal processes. Even ourselves as the department, we are still, from an oversight point of view, by saying, okay, Usata, just make sure first you have proper processes in place in terms of the suspension, that you have good reason to suspend the employees, and that you have a good case that they can, no one can have a 100% foolproof case, but you have a good case that they can answer for. So at this point, we can only ask them, the general, in that sense, that says, what are your alternatives in terms of planning since you've suspended so many people? So because we do not want to interfere on the day-to-day operations of the SASA. We allow them to do that, but we are just showing them that they must do it within reason. And I understand the question from Honorable people that the question is what pains government at this point that we do not want to see employees being on suspension for a protracted long time and just for suspension because of things that are not clean. So that's why the department just make sure it puts things properly. On the other one of the 1.8 billion, I must say that story is not there. It's actually far, far away from the truth. I do not even know how to explain it. So just to explain it in this manner, when COVID started, minister, as all other ministers, issued directions, and Usasa was given a part of the directions to implement and to make sure that in a certain district there was connectivity from a municipality point of view. But when they were published, the directions, they were approved before lockdown because we actually thought at the time when we were advising the minister that that we will be able to work from the offices. We never foresaw a situation of a total lockdown. Then came the 23rd of March, and it was total lockdown. And then by then, the direction was going to be published on the 27th, because we had a week, and they were already approved. Then we had to cut back and say, Usata, now, because we know it's going to be, no one is going to be working from home, and we're planning around municipal districts, especially the offices, in terms of broadband. What else is there? Like I said, look, we do not have any funding at this point. We can look at alternatives and ask the question National Treasury that we keep our interest from last year. So the interest at the end last year was about just over 300 million. And then from those, and then said the department, okay, from those, what are the most critical things that we identified? If we recall, because I think at the time we didn't know it was closure. There's two major things that we supported as the Department of Education and Department of Health, because that was the main drivers of COVID at the period of what we now know as level 5. Then we said, okay, what are the things that are so important in these areas? We recognize that the way learners in areas where there was, I remember there was a bandwidth, there was no bandwidth. There were learners that were complaining. I remember it was on SAPC 1, this kid that we were sharing it within our COVID WhatsApp group. When these young people say, we don't care about laptops,
We don't care about cell phones because you can hardly make a phone call from where we are. All we want is one programming from television. We want programming from SABC radio. We can, when, in this area, we can't even, I remember this young man said, in this area, we can only get Mhlobo Wenene. And if we cannot get access to those, the school was open. So then there was an opportunity to say, okay, from those indigenous households that have been identified, who are the indigenous learners, those learners that could be identified, part of the list of the registered indigenous households that can be able to be considered to actually receive IDT sets in order to help them move forward. This program then was going to be led by USASA. However, USASA, unfortunately, but depends how you look at it, there were delays in terms of how the tender processes went out. One, they had to withdraw, I think, the one tender because it had issues. I just don't recall on top of my head. I think it was around standards. Then they've been involved in that process. But to date, honorable members, there is no tender that has been awarded to anyone. So I just wanted to say that because it's very difficult to engage with independent newspapers because they don't subscribe to press ombudsman. You can give as much response as you want, but they will still publish what they want to publish. The 1.8 billion, we do not know where it comes from, but I know that USASA subsequently even published a correction, but that correction was only carried on social media. And send it again to social to independent newspapers, but it was not carried through. Chairperson, I must say that the questions that have been asked around training of the young people and the young people, yes, they are part of the government. But Chairperson, this is how we need to look at it. Center is took over the government only beginning of October. They are still on the ground. They are still going to areas such as Basawa, making the example of registrant. So at this point, as the department responsible for the entities, I have not received a report as to how many people have been trained. And we have our monitoring, we have our tools that they will say to us. So after a month, they will report to say these are the how many people that have been, how many people have not been, these are the contracts, I don't think it goes back to your article. We have managed to install 5,000 set-top boxes. These are the addresses that we were at. These are the challenges that we had. We will then consider whether it's possible to actually, as part of the reporting mechanism, to go to that granular detail. Because some of the details, it's an SLA between the CENTEC and the installer and how the people are there. For us, we just want to make sure that there's localization. We want to make sure that the set-top box is there. We do the granular detail in terms of reporting. We do not pick that device. It's something that we will consider. And I'm saying at this particular point, we do not have those numbers. I cannot even say to Shamotini, respond, but I would be setting him up for a response that he would not have. Even if I were to say, CENTEC, please come in on this call, CENTEC will not be in a comfortable position to say, these are the numbers that we have audited and these are the correct numbers at this point. But it has just been trusted, the approval was just recently done. The SLA was signed because, as you know, was reporting for the first time on this issue of CENTEC. So, I'm not in the position of the members to have that information to say how many people have been trained thus far. But historically, before 2020, I know that the department, as it then was, did undertake the training, but that's not the purpose of the question, is it now? So that is where I would like to leave the chair at this particular point.
very much. I don't know whether Dr. Papuani has got something to add.
Thank you, Chair, and all the SDGs. Chair, the question was as to which municipality, where have we been in terms of transition? I should confidently say to President that we have been in all districts of Free State, as I've indicated, except Manaung. The Nigelepo, Tuatabom, Hutanya, and Fezile Bami, Harib, we have been there and we have engaged with those municipalities. And the approach is that our DC engaged with the provincial government, and then we're going to submit the steering committees in those respective district and local municipalities. So that approach has worked before, and we see it working going forward because working hand in hand with the municipalities makes our life easy. They know the people, they know the challenges, and we are able to deal with issues as and when they arise. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Dr. Papuani, and thanks to the acting DG for the responses. The committee has indicated, there are some areas where we think we need further information from our side, the acting DG. That is the area in relation to the training of young people. It is in our interest as the committee to get to understand the people who will be trained as the people who remain with the after installation services. So in our next engagement, we request that we get that information. The other area that we think you also need to go and look at it is the issue around statistics per province in relation to the delays, which we request that you said, Dr. Papuani said the information is there. Where the information is there, it can be given back to the committee through our committee secretary. The other issue that we need to emphasize with the committee is the issue around awareness programs per province and pre-tender awareness programs so that our people are also able to understand and contract because the moment they are not there, then localization is not going to assist. We need previously disadvantaged people to be part of this rollout of this program. And the issue of localization of project as well. So those are the issues that you need to take note of, acting DG. And we also, as the committee, wish the minister the speedy recovery, and you must convey our message, acting DG, to the minister. Thank you very much, acting DG. We can release you and remain as the committee to deal with our own logistical internal arrangements.
Thank you, Chairperson, and honorable members. Have a good afternoon. Cheers.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye, Kotia.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
That declaration was supposed to be made before the meeting started. I will put in the agenda item declaration of interest.
I agree with you, Jefferson.
When they were members who were supposed to declare here, and they haven't declared.
I didn't want to declare before, because I was going to spoil the meeting. Folks would ask me too many questions. Therefore, I said, let me declare it after.
Thank you very much.
Yes, I asked him, Baba, to put on screen the minutes of last week.
But you have distributed them, listen.
Yes. We received them, there's no need.
Okay. Yes. Because members did receive them. When you
minutes of the 18th.
Yeah, when you distribute them on time, we want members to engage on them.
Okay.
There are the minutes, the honorable members. If there are any corrections, if there are no corrections, we can call for a mover for the adoption of the minutes.
Okay. Linda, if the chairperson move for the adoption of the minutes.
Any second, mate? Any second for the minutes?
A second, Chairman.
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Nana. Honorable Nana, when you second the minutes, yeah, if you want it. You know how to second it.
Mudula Stulo.
Yeah,
yeah, fake.